Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
We are back for more Starfinder 2nd Edition testing, iconic jesting, and planet shattering 10-minute resting episode of Cosmic Crit. This is your final boss GM, Patrick, here. And joining me in adventures for the foreseeable future are my four friends, Drew, Miles, Rebecca, and Tyler. No Jabert this week. And no Seth. Get out of here, you two. We're talking about four-player Starfinder. It is Starfinder, right? Or are we doing Pathfinder this week? I forget. Apparently.
Starfinder
2E.
It's definitely 2E something.
I was about to say, incorrect, Rebecca. We're doing 2nd edition. You don't even have to say Path or Star. We're findering 2nd edition. We've etched out the last couple weeks and maybe another week or so after this to play Mike Kimmel's Shards of the Glass Planet, the first ever official Starfinder 2E Society playtest scenario. Are you guys ready to get back into it? We did take a week off in between the last couple episodes and this one. So maybe we should recap what happened. What happened on the last episode, everyone? Last two? I divided up our play last week into two episodes. So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I'm going to remind everybody it was my birthday when we played that. So I don't remember anything.
Well, okay. We were all on a ship and then we arrived at this planet and they were like, oh man, this planet's got a bunch of cover that makes it like really hard to look at stuff from up here. You got to go down beneath that nonsense and meet up with this research team.
And then the research team was going to give you a bunch of side quests to go over here and flip this doodad and go over this and seance with this thing. And
yeah, Patrick got mad at me because I wanted to shoot the plant, but then as it turned out, we needed to shoot that plant, so he gaslit me. The monster.
No, we
were stunned by the lack of fauna, but then later, it started up again.
It was like raining fauna at the end there, but in actuality, it was raining glass shards from the sky.
I think we uncovered that the Civ Empire was active here at one time. Mm-hmm.
It's very possible, yes.
We're really cruel, probably, to the people here.
Okay, that's stereotyping, Rebecca. That really hurts.
No, I think Patrick said that. I wrote down belligerent for people of this world. I don't know why.
we're making a joke that you're just treating the Civ as belligerent and mean because they're the Civ, not that, you know.
No, those guys are jerks.
Quantum tech was hastily installed into the consoles as a response to an external enemy.
Most importantly,
we gained enough survey points through our side quests to reinstate the tech.
I think you've pretty much figured out what it does. I don't think you've reinstated said tech, but by the time
this is what I wrote down.
There was like an earth-shaking kind of movement across the planet here, and all the animals showed back up at once. Not only did you see what looks like inhabitants of this world, these little square, kind of Rubik's cube-headed sliding square boys, not only did they show up, but a very large turtle creature showed up and started scaring you away, trying to scare you away from its territory, perhaps. Big old leather-backed creature, 12-foot-tall turtle thing with wings. This was known as a Scoresh, and you also it reacted to score ferns, the plants that were shooting off poison spores that really didn't have much of an effect on the fight. But yes, you've dealt with both Scorferns and Scoresh. And just a reminder, who everyone is playing this week, as well as the last few, we have Rebecca playing the Solarian iconic Day, Miles the Witch Warper iconic Zamir. Drew is rocking with Navasi the Envoy, and Tyler can't not play Beol Vesk. explain.
Yeah.
Soldier Obaziah. And I went from the field tests thinking that soldiers really sucked to last week being like, oh man, they need a nerf real bad.
Whoa. Slow your roll, my man.
Primary target's just so good. It's pretty good. So that is where we left off. You've defeated the Skoresh and these beings, these sentient looking beings and these light robes are coming up from site number 4, which was the Magitek consoles. They seem to be kind of huddled around there. Now they're coming up to you after your battle with the Skoresh, and they look a little out of steps. These rocky beings are moving forward. They were huddled around the corner near these magic tech councils, but one of them comes up to you guys and raises an incongruously lanky appendage, kind of speaks in a grating voice, perhaps a greeting, perhaps a threat, but then speaks a few longer phrases and tilts their body from one side to the other, kind of turns all the way towards the survey team, as well as the other beings. He's like,
can I roll culture? I guess it's society. Excuse me, society.
For what?
See if I can recognize anything of what they said.
You don't know this language, boy. You don't know this language one bit. Likely don't have a shared language of any others, because these guys were a long time ago. Likely they were around when the Civ were about. Do you want to try to say something to them in common, or?
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back. We mean you no harm. We just want to talk. We just want to talk.
Can Day play some soothing jazz music as Navasi is appealing to them?
The universal language, right?
To lighten the mood? Yeah.
soothing bass guitar.
Yes.
Universal language. What if like bassy sounds are really inappropriate in their culture, Rebecca? Have you not thought about this? What if they're all like...
I mean, that's a risk I'm willing to take, but...
because we will attack them if they don't like... funky bass rips. I would say you could probably aid with some music, some performance if you want. But this creature that moves forward, you hear a phrase repeated a few times, and then he's kind of like with his lanky arms gesturing into the sky towards the giant hole. And then, like, make some other hand gestures.
Can I hear that last part again?
I'm trying to read, like, words backwards to see if I can make a language. That's what their language sounds like.
Pretty good.
Is there anything that you want to try and communicate, Drew, as our pretty face, Navasi the envoy? This is his first contact, really.
Yes. Hello, friends. This is Navasi of the Starfinders. We are here to meet you. Well, we didn't know you were here, but now that you are, we would like to formally greet you. This is a greeting. Hello.
so good.
The creature once more kind of maybe takes some cues from you and mimics you a little bit, and then like kind of points back toward themselves and is like, "Garak ak totho sorak, garak ak totho sorak," and then kind of does like a bow, but it's really just throwing hands up in the air like. Arr!
Navasi points her fingers at herself. Navasi, Gleric, Ak, Tortho, Sartak. Sorry if I mispronounced it. It's the first time I've ever heard your language.
Points back to the sky.
We got to figure out what he's saying.
Yeah, this is going to be a long episode. You guys got
Miles, your dude doesn't have comprehend languages, does he?
Unfortunately, I'm a witch warper and not a technomancer.
So, not a cool, smooth technomancer with all the fun spells. Is there? So we've got Day potentially setting the soundtrack. It sounds like you want them to kiss.
Soundtrack
Rebecca.
To peace.
Day in the background. Does Miles or Tyler, do you guys have something you'd like to do with a, irrespectively, Obaziah and Zamir in this communication?
I'm looking at what I can do.
This figure will kind of point back towards the Magitek console and is like, seems to like be making some gestures towards the runes, towards the gems in the Magitek consoles, and then back towards the big bubble over the planet.
Okay. I have something that I don't think it's going to, I don't know. I have touched something real. Mm-hmm. And it says, by briefly touching or fidgeting your anchor helps you elevate your situation clearly. So elevating the situation would be understanding.
It's
I'm not even being cute. Like, is that like a proper read on what this spell can do?
It's not a spell. It's a class ability, I think, for witch warpers. And it's mostly used to like shake off mental effects, I think. Like, if you
can, okay,
can you?
Well, my mental effect is I don't understand this being.
My mental effect is ignorance. Can I shake that off?
Can I change that?
And also, it's called, touch something real. We all know, Thurston Hillman, you wanted to call it touch grass. Everyone knows it, and we're going to call it touch grass if anyone plays a witch warper. So just know it, you succeeded. There's an ability called touch grass in our mind. No, are there any skills you want to work with here?
I mean, if it's not a language that I'm going to know, I'm not really sure.
Well, I'm going to let you do a society check if that's what you want to do. But if you want to do a society or even another computer's or arcana to aid, you can.
I mean, I can roll society. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's whichever one you want to do of those. So that'll be enough for an aid. Rebecca, do you want to roll performance for Day?
Yes, please. Oh. It's a 23.
Be rolling rocks out here. Tyler, what about Obaziah? What you got going on in this combo?
This is why I like guns. They're clearer.
Well,
I don't know. Obaziah is going to assess the body language of the individuals to see it, make sure that they're not, there's nothing threatening. How about that?
Well,
via society.
Oh, via society. Nothing threatening, but you do get a sense, that they are perhaps a little shell shocked, a little, perhaps a little hurried, a little harried, if you will.
Can't imagine why.
I mean, there's a giant hole in their sky right now, and you guys just kind of popped out of nowhere, I think, from their point of view. But, yeah. Well, I don't quite understand how we've started off, and you guys have got such good rolls already, but we've got some great rolls. This is three successful aids, and this isn't enough to get a critical success, but Drew rolled a 19 total for your Navasi's society check. That is enough for a success. And I think you're getting enough from the body language and like the pointing towards the sky, towards some of these Magitek consoles, to get indeed first of all, this is a being that identifies themselves as Glaric Ak Totho Sarak, but answers if you just say Glarak or Glarak. And you get from, I think, some of the similar carvings that were in some of the other sites, that indeed, these people called the Alethi or the Alethi Alliance were using Magitek to perhaps try and hide themselves or defend themselves from the Civ Dominion millennia ago. Long, long time ago. That is what Glarak is trying to communicate to you, kind of looking over towards these Magitek consoles and maybe make some gestures of like attacking the planet and like the dome. What would you like to communicate back to Glarak? With a success, you can communicate one idea back across the language barrier.
Where's your money?
No, I hate that my first idea is good job hiding out from the Civ. They've been gone forever. Nice work.
you successfully waited them out. Some real heroes took care of them a couple books ago.
No, I mean, can I get across that we don't understand their language but would really, really like to, so that we could communicate? Is that too specific of an idea to get across?
I mean, no. I think that's fairly good. I unfortunately, I don't think they have a way to really bridge the gap themselves, but Glarak seems pretty receptive to that phrase. Maybe you're like gesturing about communicating between you. The being is like stroking their hands across one another and their head just kind of spins around a few times. Their little Rubik's Cube heads. And Glarak interrupts you a couple times, like, keeps pointing towards the Magitek consoles, the hole in the sky, and continues on. Maybe tries to explain the Magitek consoles a little bit and make some like weird imbalance hand gestures, you know, and then I don't know, like expanding hand gestures, like puts their arms together and like moves them apart. Like, Drew, let me finish. There we go.
Honestly, I'm glad you did, because I had a way different idea when I was interrupting. So
good.
It's different now.
Good.
I have a question. I would regret it if I didn't ask this. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance any of our NPC friends can help us interpret? Oh,
I thought you were about to ask if we are full HP and SP or something.
I mean, I think I already am, but yeah.
Yeah, I took care of that score, Fern, pretty darn well. So just a recap, some of the closest folks from the Stylus of Destiny. You've got the Skittermander, Levinetta. You've got a human scientist named Jarna, and the Kasothan Mehusil, who is kind of like in charge of this area here. And maybe they're like trying to like follow along with the conversation as well, but they want to let you lead. You know, they're scientists, technicians, and explorers, if you will. So I don't know if they have spells or any more skills than you guys would have. Did you have a question for any of them?
Back? I just wondered if maybe one of them had comprehend languages or something.
This would be just in the case. Fastest section of this adventure.
if they had just like been studying the language via maybe written text.
Well, I mean, we already found written text, right? Yeah. Like,
but I mean, once again, everyone has only got to this planet in like the last few days. So
yeah, but one of these guys is a real language nerd. They figured this out already.
I don't think anyone's cracked the Rosetta Stone for the Alethi Alliance.
Listen, I figured that would be the case, but I would be really mad at myself if I didn't ask. And it turned out all along that this NPC help us.
You go up to the Skittermander who's just like dictating, writing down old dictation. It's like, oh yeah, I understand them completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you guys ask? I could have told you exactly what they're saying. I thought we all understood them. This part is indeed all about trying to get around this communication barrier.
All right, so they keep moving their hands inward and outward and pointing at the mm-hmm. hole in the sky. Mm-hmm. Does that imply that the hole in the sky is growing bigger or smaller? And that is a problem that we have to help them solve.
I mean, I think you've got some parts of it here, and there's a few different skill checks you can attempt for, but it seems like perhaps maybe a little bit more technical. You can still try to use society to communicate, but if other folks want to chime in, this will be Arcana or Nature to assist. Arcana or Nature. We got an assist from Azamir, who could tell the expanding gesture and then pointing towards the hole in the sky. Probably not good. We've got a full-on fail probably from Obaziah. What's this with your bonus?
This was nature, uh-huh. So it would have been 7.
Okay, not a critical fail, so no harm, no foul.
I forgot that helping isn't free.
I'm not trained in either of these things, so...
Then don't roll it.
I'm not going to roll. Yeah,
you don't have to. So you've got one aid there, Drew. Do you want to roll another society, or do you want to try one of these other skills?
If I roll one of those other skills, I'll fail. Let me do a society.
Okay. All right. Very good roll there. Still not a critical success, because you don't get all these aids from your friends, but a success nonetheless. It seems like they are warning perhaps against this technology that they've used, and I think you guys have understood perhaps upgraded with some kind of quantum tech, almost like the rail state technology of the sieve. They're warning that these Magitek towers are the ones all nearby, and all these consoles are out of equilibrium. And you know, I think you kind of saw that with the stones, these living stones nearby that they drew power from. Glarak is kind of gesturing and making the out of equilibrium hand gestures, and is pointing towards like a different direction, pointing for you guys to travel somewhere else. And I think you understand that in order to perhaps help stabilize this Magitek field, stop it from expanding, you'll have to head to another nearby tower, perhaps one that's still in equilibrium, to work on it.
What if we just destroyed all the towers?
Well, that would cause the planet to probably be destroyed when the dome bubble crashes in on everyone. They want you to use it to stop that from happening.
I get that, but at the same time, I'm like,
what if we just destroy them?
Yeah, what are they contributing? What are we getting from this planet?
And Glarak points to him as like, blah, 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 blah. Points to Opazite. That is a success. And like I said, they're sending you on a quest to help save the planet. You can, Drew, communicate one idea back because of this success. Is there? It can also be a question you can try and communicate and perhaps get an answer on.
So I'm going to communicate that tower. We should go over there and do that, right?
They like make the walking gesture with their fingers, and then like moving things on the Magitek consoles, and then like kind of a hand gesture wiping away the sky, maybe like wax on, wax off hand gestures against the sky.
Okay. So that reads like a yes to me. I don't know. Anybody else feel like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mahusa will weigh in and is like, I have also agree that this individual wants us to head to another one of the towers like this one and try and stabilize this Magitek field from there. They're talking about preparing for war, dangers along the way, something about the energy failing much more rapidly now. Should we all go to the tower? Do you think that is the right course of action, or do you want to head back to the safety of the Stylus of Destiny? It could be dangerous if you were to remain on the planet and things were to go south.
Danger? I laugh at danger.
Oh, are you okay? Do you need medical assistance? You should not laugh at danger. It is the opposite response you should have, Navasi.
All right, let's get it going.
Oh, okay. Everyone okay heading out that way? It is a little bit of a hike where the next kind of site that has been mapped out is. Okay, everyone's okay with this. All right. Just there's some head shakes, some nods.
Yeah.
Some,
we have to remind ourselves this is an audio podcast.
Yeah.
I'm the soldier. Like, I'm only allowed like 35 words in this entire episode. So, you know, I got to pick through
20 of them. I rarely look at the video feed just because I'm always like reading or like moving something else on my screen. So it's good that I don't, because I try not to get complacent with like accepting visual nods. Right. So it is a little bit of a hike through the woods here. Maybe double timing it when you can, and there's some open terrain. But yeah, it's a very beautiful jungle planet that this area of the planet that you're on. And now that all the flora and fauna are back, there's creatures everywhere. There's little kind of green skink like things and big old traveling flocks of birds that are seemingly just jumping from tree to tree, almost following you, making a cacophonous noise. Right. As you guys get about halfway there, focusing in on the task at hand, there is an earth-shattering cracking noise. Indeed, it sounds like it's coming up from the earth below you, but you realize it is an echo of the entire sky above you kind of cracking and just reverberating through the hills and the forest jungle below. Very, very bassy. Yeah, the sound of the sky breaking in half, not something you necessarily want to be a part of. We are in a bit of a hazard for the next little bit here. And I think we have to roll initiative for this.
Oop. Well, that's unfortunate.
Against the sky?
Yeah, roll to see if you can beat the sky falling.
All right.
On full Chicken Little baby.
Let me roll for the sky real quick. Here we go.
So glad you were ready for this joke. Listeners, he pulled out a giant picture of just a blue sky with some clouds.
I wasn't. I just typed in sky and uploaded the first image that came over. What did I roll for the sky? Not great. Not bad. Not great.
Take that, sky.
Oh, but Tyler's rolled worse. Tyler,
I mean, for listeners, you can always rely on me.
This is not Asher's being that is bound to them. This is the actual sky we're talking about, like with the clouds and stuff.
The literal sky.
Well, it's a good thing Asher's not here.
Yeah.
She would get confused halfway through and change classes again.
Hopefully by this point I'll have killed Asher and taken Sky for my own. Devilish.
Oh, that's
big bad. It's like GM. It's now the parrot on Jafar's shoulder is her tattoo. Right. So indeed, as soon as you hear this, there's already like giant just as huge shards of the energy shield begin to crash into the jungle floor all around you guys, sending both debris, trees exploding, rocks shattering, as well as blasts of energy kind of rippling through the area here. So we are in initiative turn order. This is a hazard, and you can react how you would like. Day is up first. Rebecca, what would you like to do with your Solarian?
I have no idea. Where is this thing? How far away is it?
The sky?
Is it a thing?
It's a few miles. It's a few miles in the air.
I'm confused here. Is it still just the hole and we can see the sky?
Or is the
sky coming to get us?
Oh, the sky's gonna get you, Rebecca. Ooh, the sky gonna get you.
I'm really having a hard time picturing this in my head. I don't know what's going on.
Well, let me try to make it a little clearer, because I do have art of, I don't know why they added this in, but giant shards of sky hitting the ground. It looks like a giant jagged piece of glass. Boop. This is what's happening all around you.
So it's literally like, I mean, it's not the sky. It's pieces of some solid matter.
Yeah, well, it's kind of frozen energy, perhaps rel state quantum superimposed energy. Because as these things hit the ground, they shatter into, atoms. They atomize and kind of blast areas around them here. So, like I said, this isn't a trap. This is a hazard that you will have to try and survive. How would Day like to try and survive?
Everything I have talks about creatures, but this isn't a creature.
No, it is. Big old pieces of glass, basically. Space glass.
I have Solar Nimbus, which would protect me, but only if I take damage from a melee attack. So
that's not going to help at all.
Right. So I'm struggling to see anything that is a special ability that could be of use here. Can I?
Well, I'll give you a little hint. Like, it was a trap. The hazard is going to be looking at your skills list and see how you can act. And, you know, I think each of these rounds could be like over the course of, you know, a longer period of time, like 30 seconds or so. It doesn't have to be 6 seconds. So, potentially you could do like a number of things back to back. Or what kind of skills does Day have to navigate the universe?
Well, I have athletics.
Oh, okay. What might you do with that? Yes.
run away,
run
Day.
Real fast. But I want to run in a place that a sky is not going to fall on me.
Well, a good way to do that is just to kind of look up, see where it's coming down, and then run away from that area.
Okay. If I can do that, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Run away, Day, never coming back.
Actually, go ahead and roll your dice.
Drew had that one loaded.
Okay, 21. I'll tell you how you do after we get through a couple more folks here. Navasi.
And
Zamir. Oh, you both rolled a 19, so who wants to go first here?
Navasi will take point and use her acrobatic skills to kind of dip, dive, duck, dodge, and dip around these potential hazards as they crop up. Combat rolls. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that.
Acrobatics? Yeah, of course.
As long as you don't roll like a one.
Oh, no!
Did you say that before he rolled, Tyler?
Yeah, I did.
I was rolling.
Natural one.
Tyler, I'll never forgive you.
Radical failure. Well, maybe Zamir can help out. What are you thinking about, Miles? You've got a magic user.
So I was looking at warp reality.
Mm-hmm.
I can create a quantum field that activates so long as I sustain it. And it's a 15-foot radius burst centered on a point that I choose within 100 feet.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. What are you thinking Zamir is going to do?
I mean, could I warp reality and make the sky not the sky?
I mean, in like a 15-foot radius area, you probably could, yes. Very much so.
So I
am going to make you roll for this, though.
I don't. Do I have to roll for it?
I'm going to make you.
Going to make you.
I mean, because it is not a use of warp reality that typically, but I imagine you want to either make a shield with the warp reality to kind of block this thing coming down from hitting you, and or try and destroy or deflect them as a So I mean that will have a chance for failure. What? But you can use your arcana, you can use your spell attack modifier, whatever. I think they're both probably going to be the same, like a 7 or so. Roll that.
Where's my spell attack modifier?
It'll be on the spell page.
Oh, sorry.
Like I say, you just roll arcana. I'm pretty sure they're the same.
Sounds.
And just a reminder for two folks here that don't play Pathfinder 2e very often, you got a hero point still. You got a new hero point.
Every time we turn on the podcast, unless Patrick takes an episode and splits it into two, thus cheating the system, and where we did not get the amount of hero points we so rightfully deserved.
All right, you know what, Tyler? Have another one for last week.
What?
That expired.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to use a hero point for that.
A 3 on the dice. I think you could do better.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, very good. That is still not enough for critical success. Let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna kind of this middle DC here. So that is a success, and on to the Sky Falling's turn. A energy shield shard is indeed going to crash into the ground, kind of near you guys. Everyone can make me a. Oh, I guess this is supposed to be. I just do double damage. Make me one very important reflex save. I think I was supposed to do one of these at the start of the combat, too.
Does Amir need to do one?
Yes.
But I've got the field around me.
And hopefully that'll reflect in your role here. you're trying to...
It doesn't.
Oh, no, Miles. 4 on the dice. Let's see what the DC is. It looks like we got a couple of good successes. And a couple of fails. No critical fails, so no worries there, but still a goody amount of damage coming. Or not. A pretty standard amount of damage. This is 8 points of bludgeoning damage, as indeed you've got the shield up, Zamir, but like one of these things falls down and just explodes a tree 20 feet away from you, and you're just rain down with shards. Day, as you're running away, you get pelted by rocks from one of the explosions. Indeed, a big old energy explosion happens right in front of Navasi, who also failed. So for both Obazai and Day, you are only taking 4 points of damage.
Okay.
I'm here, Navasi, 8. Let's go on to Obazai's turn. Tyler, what you got?
I'm going to just leg it, the way I would think about it is, you know, spend some actions running. Mm-hmm. Like if this were turn by turn, it would be 2 actions to run, and then my 3rd action I would use like my barricade ability to try and block some of the shards. Mm-hmm. And then start running again and then make a barricade a little while later.
Does the barricade help you with reflex rolls?
No, it just provides cover, so I imagine it would just like
I think cover can.
I don't know. That's not on the sheet.
Well, if it is standard cover, it can provide reflex bonuses. Yeah,
standard cover.
Okay, so you can run and stop. So make me an athletics check.
Can do. Oh, I don't trust that for a second. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. That can't be right. That can't be. Okay. Okay.
There it is. Should be 6.
Yes. In my roll 20 sheet, my athletics is 2 and my acrobatics is 5. It should be the other way around.
Huh. Whoever made these was probably drunk. What a loser.
I'm laughing, folks, because it was me. 17.
Oh, it was me. I made it, Tyler.
No, I made it.
I'm Spartacus.
I don't remember whether I made it or not.
Yeah, it was probably Drew, actually, now that on his birthday we're like, make these character sheets, birthday slave. Is this a 17?
17.
Yeah, it's gonna be a success. DC 17 exactly. So turn two, I will let you guys know you need as many successes as you have players. So before it gets around to the sky's turn again, we just need another success. Day, no pressure. Rebecca, what would you like to do on turn two?
I'm going to keep running. Oh, kind of all I can do.
For the first time in Day's life, they were running.
You don't want to try to like solar flare or whatever? And
at what?
The sky. Burn the sky down.
The sky?
Yeah, the sky's made of oxygen. Oxygen's flammable. Just burn it.
I mean, I thought about it, but it only goes 30 feet up.
Tyler has like absolute full Starfinder brain rot. Tyler's like, I'm ready to play a dumb soldier again so bad. It's what I know. No.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm happy to be back in my little world. I'm just teasing, Rebecca. You run.
Athletic check, Rebecca.
I think it's all I can really do.
And you do it so well. Nat 19 on the dice. You run this party right out of the hazard. Maybe you're able to find a little brook in some trees, swing on some branches and down a hill, and there's still some explosions for a few rounds after you get out of this danger zone, but you and your friends can run away from this energy shard bombardment and into the next area where perhaps there has not been a full exploration of the paths, but you're pretty sure that ahead there should be some more of these Magitek consoles, another one of these different towers nearby, these magical technical towers.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.